Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop. Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on a Wednesday here in H-Town. In fact, as I was about to set something up, I should let you know, first of all, that in this hour, we will give away a $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shop. So, and of course, if you win that, you also will be entered for a chance to win a grill at the end of the season.
You're darn right.
So that's a big thing that's happening.
And it's a great grill.
Is it really?
I know which one it is.
As opposed to a stinky grill?
It's not a stinky grill.
Okay, very good. Yeah. Excellent. But some more news on, you know, Texans that might be coming back, some reinforcements in some ways. Mm-hmm. A defensive lineman, Dylan Horton, according to Mike Garofolo, will return to practice today for the first time since last November, which was shortly before he was diagnosed with stage 4 Hodgkin's lymphoma. According to sources. So he's currently on the NFI list. He's in remission and completed his treatments in spring.
I said this to you during the break when we were talking about this. Houston Texans can kick that cancer butt, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. And
Justin Berry did it. Mechie did it.
Absolutely.
Now Dylan Horton, we're kicking that butt.
Got a you know, reputation for being able to do that. But I don't even know how much that's about the organization themselves, although I'd like to, you know, obviously give them some level of credit. But the city of Houston, man, it's one of the things that's a blessing. One of the many things that's a blessing about the city, but in particular is just medical center here, man. It's literally one of, if not the absolute best place in the world to get medical treatment, and so that also the Texans get that benefit of it. And so it's great that you've been able to see some guys kick cancer, which is awesome. And so congratulations to Dylan Horton for that in and of itself. But then also it'll be great to have another defensive line player that can filter in with what the Texans are doing and help them apply pressure and heat up quarterbacks. Yeah. And that's probably really helpful this week in particular. Now, I don't know if he'll be activated for this week. We'll see how that plays out. But if he is, that big boy Josh Allen, man, he be rumbling, stumbling, bumbling. So, yeah, no, if you get some more dudes that can apply pressure and keep those guys fresh, that's a great thing that you can have. But let's talk about this this long-form piece by Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. He wrote a piece, and obviously, like, the timing is very particular.
Yeah, he did because of this game.
Texans, Bills are playing, and so the headline reads, Inside the Stephon Diggs Buffalo Bills Divorce. And, I mean, it's not just the Bills one, because he gets kind of background also from Stephon Diggs' time with the Vikings as well. But there's no comment from Stephon from the Bills, mm-hmm. right? But you can tell that he did a good amount of work talking to people in the building, right, and getting those kind of sources. And he paints a very interesting picture during the course of this. And it's not things that we're entirely unfamiliar with.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to get some of the quotes that we did, including, right, talking about the actual divorce with the Bills, saying a team source said that Stephon Diggs is a tremendous player, but the offense didn't need him mm-hmm. anymore. And, of course, there's a lot of different things that you can point to. But he goes back. He talks about the Vikings time and how it went from Stephon Diggs just being, you know, real passionate, competitive, and that's something that pops up many times is the competition level, and he talks about that as well, about his competition level and how maybe through different the ways that things shift and when frustrations and you know, I guess a lack of production in some ways, not from him as an individual, but for when the offense, that sometimes that then becomes his personality, or not necessarily personality, but his competitiveness mm-hmm. ends up, you know, kind of I guess the word to use is great in
irritating,
some ways
great
on maybe the organization and possibly some of the guys on his offense. Is that how you read it? First of all, because I want to make sure that I'm passing along an accurate interpretation of this.
That's exactly how I read it. I think clearly this week is going to be a lot of talk about this.
Yes.
Jeremy did that story because the Bills, it's a reunion, so to speak, or whatever you want to call
revenge
it.
Revenge game.
Diggs and Buffalo, Josh Allen, and the relationship that he may or may not a couple of times have been referencing Stephon Diggs about, you know, with regard to how his team is playing. And we don't have how did he put it a couple of weeks ago? We don't have a guy in the locker.
Worried
not
about
everybody
stats.
Cares about stats. Yeah. Not
yeah.
Everybody cares about stats and all that. So it's there, and it's going to be, you know, one of the big underlying themes of this game. The thing that stood, I think I'm with you on this, and one quote in particular in this piece kind of stood out, and I think it may or may not be true, because it was from the ESPN piece, and I guess one NFL executive said, quote, "He will wear on your quarterbacks," referencing what happened in Minnesota, referencing what happened in in Buffalo. And I've been very adamant, you know, kind of defending Stephon Diggs here because of that passion. Since training camp, we haven't seen that. You know, he's been unfairly characterized this way, I think unfairly characterized this way, during training camp and some of his sideline conversations, because he's an adamant guy. It hasn't been barking at C.J. Stroud or whatever. But this one line, because maybe he's intense. He's very much a pro that sometimes wants to make it clear. And I think one of the things that was said there, you know, as well, is like, what do you want me to want to lose? You know, to like losing? No, but that intensity is not a bad thing as I see it. But the wear on your quarterbacks thing is something that kind of maybe after a while you're like, look, I get it. You know, whether you're in Minnesota or Buffalo, like, I get it. You're intense. You know, you're one of the guys that, you know, plays with an intensity like very few others. You have high demands of yourself and others. So that's not a bad thing, but can it wear on you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it did in Minnesota. It clearly did, as this piece outlines, in Buffalo. And that comes back down to C.J. Stroud. Is he the type of quarterback that can sort of handle this, you know, sort of deal with it and have that relationship that it doesn't wear on these quarterbacks?
Yeah, and I feel like we might need to examine exactly the quarterbacks we're talking about here. Because first of all, Kirk Cousins is the first quarterback we're talking about. And Kirk Cousins is a very particular type of player. He is a good quarterback. Let's start there. However, he is a frustrating quarterback if you are sitting on a couch.
Yeah.
Talk less of if he is your coworker and you have the some of the frustrations that clearly and evidently happen with Kirk Cousins, whether it's, you know, checking down at times, or whether it's, you know, the inability to get the ball where you need to in the right moment, right? Those things are going to pop up. And with a competitor like Stephon Diggs, I think that I can understand where that would pop up. And Kirk Cousins, that feels like a situation where I probably am not as worried about that one. Josh Allen, I do wonder to what degree Josh Allen, it did great on him in particular. Because it seems like, and it's worth noting that a lot of this story is sourced from team sources.
Yeah.
Right? And when, again, always considering the source, who is a team more likely, or a team source more likely to side with, I guess, if we're going to make this binary of one side or the other, is obviously going to be the side where they are considering, like the side of, you know, whose interests they're invested in. And that's personnel for the most time.
Yeah.
Although I will give credit here. It feels like most of the team sources were glowing about Stephon Diggs as the person, right? About him and his competitiveness and all these things. But it seemed like it came down to just, it can grate on you. It did not feel like it actually graded on Josh Allen in the ways that it actually, like in the way that it played out. Like if Josh Allen or if Stephon Diggs had started in Buffalo and then it apart, I don't know that we talk about this in this way. I think it's because it starts in that place. And then, you know, I guess maybe the organization and the coordinators is where the real friction seemed to be in Buffalo, as opposed to with the quarterback.
Yeah, just kind of wearing on them.
But that feels like that's the coordinator as opposed to the quarterback.
And
so I think that gives me a little bit of, it gives me a lot, rather, of hope when it comes to CJ in this space, in that it won't get to that place for him because he is also a competitor.
Yeah.
One of the things that I was looking at from this Jaguars game, and I don't remember exactly the play, but I remember seeing it, and shout out to, I believe, Houston Stresses on Twitter. I think I saw it there. That there was one of those plays that you could see from like the end zone view where CJ overthrows his receiver and he falls to his knees because there's that level of expectation you can tell within himself where just a play where he did not deliver in the way that he believes himself capable of sent him to that place. That's the type of competition and competitive nature that we're talking about with Stephon Diggs. And so I think that they're on a similar wavelength, and I imagine that probably will preclude this from getting to a place where those guys are not seeing eye to eye in that regard.
Yeah, and I think something else will too, because I actually it was a fascinating story. It was a good story. And then you can go back to Minnesota, and we've seen several things. But I'm going to defend Stephon Diggs again.
Okay.
And the reason I'm going to defend him is he's a different person. I think his priorities are different now. And I'm not like buddies with Stephon, but I think you can see it. I think you can see like where with C.J. Stroud, Maybe there's a quarterback, as you talked about, that can sort of, you know, relate there and communicate in a good space, because it does work both ways. I could see where Stephon Diggs would be wearing on people. You know, we all have that friend. That,
no, for
whether
sure.
Whether they're chatty or whether it's they always ask us, you know, a lot of questions or whatever. And you kind of want to tell them, all right, I get it.
And they mean and they mean well.
They mean well, but you're like, okay, yeah. I get it. You know, and it just kind of wears on you if you do that over time. I think C.J. Stroud can handle that, number one. And number two, I think Stephon Diggs' priorities have changed. I think when he was in Minnesota and he's talking about, I didn't want to be the number two receiver, nothing against Minnesota, you know, all love, basically is what he said, but I didn't want to be the number two receiver. I don't think he's going to mind necessarily. And maybe I'm way off on this. Maybe it's still the same guy. And, you know, it's going to wear on him. One of the things I talked to you and Figgy about before the show, is this a warning sign because Nico's the number one? Nico's going to be the all-pro. He's going to be the 1,200, 1,400, 1,500-yard receiver, whatever it may be. Is that a warning sign that Steph's not going to like that? I don't think so. That's just me. I think from what I've seen, from what where he is in his career, I think the Texans are getting Steph at just the right time in Steph's career.
I think the Texans also, like, we'd be lying if, or at least I'd be lying in my estimation, if I said that I didn't think that the Texans had some concerns about this, because that's why I believe,
it's a one-year contract.
That's why that contract ends up being structured in the way that it does. And some of it is also, there's a lot of growth, there's a lot of future when it comes to the youth and talent of this wide receiving core and pass catchers. And I know that, you know, you have to consider maybe that you don't have situations or people in place where they are going to block potential development mm-hmm. with no, you know, disrespect to the player's capabilities or anything like that. It clearly matters, right? Mm-hmm. I brought back up one of those situations where, you know, Nick Caserio sits down with John Harris and Vandermeer on Texans All Access, and Caserio talked about the fact that they consulted folks.
Yeah.
They talked to folks when it came to, what the character of this guy, which is doing your due diligence with any situation, but the way that it was stated, it felt very apparent that that was something that they were concerned with, that they had some level of need to get clarification on. But I think that also means that they know what they're getting into in this regard. Mm-hmm. The one thing I would say is a concern with Stephon Diggs isn't even necessarily some of this, because it seems very evident early on with the issues that we've had with mm-hmm. with the offense, right? Obviously, a lot of that offensive line running game, but like even with that, Stephon Diggs has been able to get his, and it's clear that what Stephon Diggs also helps as a multiplier to what Nico Collins does.
For sure.
I think that's evident.
Absolutely.
The question is, where is that push Tank Dell? And of course, Tank Dell got injured, but before that, it felt like Tank Dell had to shift his role. He was the guy in the three man triumvirate of this that had to shift in almost like a Chris Bosh type way to the Heatles, right?
More end arounds and other type routes than the big ones that he was running last year.
That would be the thing that I'm because Stephon Diggs has been accommodated, and I think rightfully so. He mm-hmm. is that caliber of player when you add him to this roster. I do wonder, like, what does that mean for Tank Dell? And not saying that Tank Dell is now going to be some level of issue in any way, but what does that mean for him and his development, as you have him for a lot longer than you have Stephon Diggs at this point?
And his role this year when obviously they pushed a lot of chips into the middle of the table. But I just think, like, in NFL years, Diggs has grown a lot since then. But the thing that bothers me about this is that this is a good story, as we talked about, and it's relevant. And especially relevant this week because, you know, obviously they're playing the Bills and all that. But I think people and the critics are just going to pounce on it again.
Sure.
You know, they're just going to pounce on it again. Like, see there? And largely be off base. But at the same time, it's very clear that Steph does have that edge that can grate on people, as I said at the very beginning. Quote, he will wear on quarterbacks. It comes down to C.J. Stroud, how he handles it, how Steph, you know, kind of handles himself and embraces the role that he's in now.
Yeah, and I think that this is not going to wipe away those, I guess, allegations, what have you, right? Like, that perspective, because in this story, you're seeing detail that people were all super happy, and Josh Allen, they mm-hmm. you know, they talked all the time and they hung out, and then you can see how maybe those dynamics shift over time. But one of the things that makes me feel just a little bit more comfortable is that on the outside, everybody can kind of have their concerns. It seems like inside that locker room, those dudes don't just like him.
Mm-hmm.
They love him.
They love him.
Right? Like, and of course, that is the thing that those those are the things that are going to be said, right? Like, you, those are the instances where you go, what else is he supposed to say? But they've been glowing. And when I say they, it's not just individuals. Bobby Slowick was glowing, but then teammates, Tank Dell glowing, obviously Jay Stroud glowing, Nico Collins. Like, you can go up and down a lot of the main people that we're talking about that have that interaction with Stephon Diggs, and it's all glowing. And so I have the feeling that you're going to have, and maybe this even helps in some ways, in developing an us versus them mentality, right? Sometimes you have a win for the gaffer type mentality in some situations, right?
Yeah.
And this might be, that might be some of what's happening in this locker room. Let's win for Stephon Diggs, where, you know, people, maybe not the Bills themselves, but maybe some of the Bills themselves, did not, they had thought this and that about our guy. Now, our guy. So let's go and show them that, one, that he's capable, then we are capable and we're better for having him there. I hope that that is the mentality that they take, and that that ultimately produces results for this team this week.
And good question from the 713 is, why would you, you know, even if CJ can handle it and CJ develops that rapport that maybe didn't happen with Kirk Cousins or Josh Allen, you know, why would you subject a young quarterback to that? I think you're subjecting the young quarterback to that, number one, because you're going to win, you're trying to win now. And you know, a drafted receiver, who knows what's going to happen there. And number two, I think because you realize, and you did your due diligence, that yes, you know, Stephon Diggs can wear on people. You know, as Ocho talked about as well on the text board, look, he's great, but he's annoying.
He can be.
Okay.
At least that's what we're getting from these different situations, possibly.
But you got, this is a one-year test. This is a one-year test, and there, you know, through a quarter of the season, pretty much, you know, there hasn't been, you know, any big issues, and he's embraced the role. So, yeah, I think it was a smart roll of the dice, given that how many receivers like Steph are out there that can not only be that good, but can help Nico.
Yeah. Speaking of rolls of the dice, you have a chance to be a winner right now. Caller number, let's say, it's week five, right?
Yes, sir.
Caller number 513-572-4610 will win a $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shops. $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shops. If you are caller number five right now, 713-572-4610. In addition to it, if you win, you will be entered for the chance to win a grill at the end of the season, courtesy of Texas Star Grill Shops. So go ahead and get involved and be a winner right here with Sports Radio 610. All right, you're in the loop, and we're coming right about that time where we get into our lunchtime confessions. We'll do that next.